Today on Real Radio.
Jesus was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. Verse 11, he came to his own, that's these guys, and his own did not receive him.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series on the parables of Jesus. We're in a mini-series taken from Matthew chapter 21, which records a parable that was directed toward the religious leaders of that day. It draws upon scriptural history from what we now refer to as the Old Testament. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now with more on his series on the parable of the householder and his heir.
Jesus is saying that my Father has provided everything. The second thing we saw last time is that the Lordship of God is faithful. In verse 36, Jesus said, again, that's a merciful statement, again he sent other servants, more than the first, and they did likewise to them. God sends warnings and warnings. He sent to Israel prophets. He sent to Israel judges. He sent to Israel kings. He sent to Israel his word. Imagine, think of it. The Jews, according to the Bible, have been given the custody of the Bible to give to the world. Isn't that incredible? It's amazing. Paul the Apostle said, seeing how you now estimate yourselves unworthy of eternal life, we go to the Gentile world. Isn't that amazing? That's how you and I got saved, by the way. The gospel going to us non-Jews. Listen, if you're a Jew, either listening tonight, watching, you're here tonight, and you're born again, man, we want to meet you. That's amazing. Because the early church was 99% Jew and very few Gentile. Think of it. And over the years, that's shifted. But here's a cool thing. My goodness, in the last 25 years, many more Jews now are coming to faith in Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus as Messiah, Savior. God's starting to lift the veil. But God is faithful, and the gospel goes out. And Jesus said, again, he sent other servants. And the third thing is this tonight. We pick it up right here, church. Mark it down. The Lordship of God is persistent. God is persistent. Aren't you glad about that? God is persistent. Man, if you're backslidden tonight, if you're not walking with God tonight, if you're kind of sloughing it off in your Christian commitment, God is so persistent that he warns us as believers. He's saying to us, come on, come meet me again. Renew it again. Return to your first love again. You ever heard God tell you that? Why is it quiet in here? You should have said yes. Okay, let's rewind that. I'm going to say it, and you go ahead and respond. Have you ever heard God say that?
Yes!
Of course you have. Because listen, when we think about God saying to us, well, come back to your first love, we think of some person who's like the prodigal son, is miles from God. No. You can be walking with God and 2 hours later, your mind be 1,000 miles from the Lord. And the Lord might say, come on back now, come on back. Any of you had kids, you know, walking a 2 or 3 year old around. I mean, I would not do this, but I've seen some parents that have leashes on their kids, you know, and I kind of understand when I see the kid, I see why they have a leash on them, but you know what I'm talking about? It's kind of like, you know, it's like, is that a 35 pound test you're using there on that kid? But God kind of does that in the sense of, stay here. Okay, come here. Come back over here. He's persistent with us. He never gives up on us. He never quits on us. And Jesus is saying this. Look at verse 37 and 38. Then last of all, he sent his son to them. Now imagine the audience, church, as we keep reading this verse. They are speaking to the man who's rumored about the nation. It's already been well broadcast for 30 years. This is that guy with all of the scandalous conception. There were strange atmospheric disturbances at his birth. We've written that off. It was some strange thing, swamp fog, light gases. And yeah, you know what? The people have been saying that the prophets make reference to this guy, this son of David, Some say he's the Son of God. They knew who they were talking about, just if it's by a scandalous thought. Are you with me? They're no stranger to who he is. And when Jesus says to them in verse 37, he finally sent his son to them, you can almost see him point to his own robe on his chest, and they will respect my son. But when the vine dressers saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and seize his inheritance. That's guts or ignorance. No, that's the wrong word, huh? Ignorance. Ignorance would mean they're kind of innocent. Nah, this is pure evil. You're not ignorant of who Jesus Christ is. You hear his name mentioned at least a few times a day, right? Jesus Christ this, Jesus Christ that, right? You ever been on a construction site? Any of you in the Navy? For that matter, have you been on a school campus? You've been walking through the mall? Jesus Christ this, Jesus Christ that. Last Sunday night, 170 nations around the world tuned in, millions and millions of people tuned in on Discovery Channel and watched Nick Walenda walk across the Grand Canyon on a rope, on a wire. Massive global audience. Did you see it? Anybody see that? Everybody's there. All the stuff's going on. It's amazing. He gets up there and he's got his thing. Right? And, you know, at first, the first step is he's 9 inches over the canyon at that point. First step. Second step, you know, he's like 13 feet over. Third step, it's like 125 feet over the canyon. Okay, by the 10th step, he's 1,500 feet above the Grand Canyon floor. And did you see it? He goes like this. I should have played it on the screens. He goes, thank you, Jesus. Lord Jesus, you are God. You are Christ. You are my defender. He's walking. And the cable starts wobbling, remember? And he's out like at about 500 feet out there. And it starts going like this. And he sits down out there. His family's like sweating blood. And he goes, Lord Jesus, I ask you to rebuke this wind, because the wind was blowing. Lord Jesus. And he got to the other side, and people went crazy around the world and all that kind of stuff. And so all these people listen, you know what cracked me up? What cracked me up is I'm surprised, Discovery Channel, I'm surprised it wasn't like this. Dear beep. And beep, and beep, 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 beep. And Lord, you're beep, and I'm calling upon beep, and right? That guy preached Jesus going across that wire. And he may not have the gift of evangelism, he may not have the gift of whatever, but that guy took his feet and he went across that canyon. Now, look, don't talk to me about tempting the Lord thy God and all that stuff. I'm thinking, that's crazy! But the name of Jesus went out, and I'm thinking to an unbelieving world, for crying out loud, you hear the name of Jesus all the time, all everywhere. He's the number one cursed name word in the universe. Everybody in the world, no matter where they're from, if they're going to cuss, they're going to use his name. Isn't that amazing? God's persistent, though. He never gives up. He's waiting. And Jesus said, well, you know what? The son came, but they said to themselves, let's kill him. Let's remove Jesus from the scene. Let's remove everything about God from the scene. Let's take away any resemblance of God. Let's get him out of here. Every culture, I think, lives in an age where that is manifested to some degree or not. In Psalm chapter 2, verse 12, the Bible says, kiss the son, lest he be angry, and you perish in the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all those who put their trust in him. Isn't that amazing? Psalm, ladies and gentlemen, 1,000 years before Jesus was born, the psalmist writes, kiss the Son, lest he be angry. What does this verse mean? Jack, you just said God's persistent. Oh, yes, he is persistent, but make no mistake about it, my friend. God's persistent, but there's a coming time that God has designed where he will stop being persistent. Did you know that? It's already built into the deal. God will stop reaching out to those who are saying no to him. But when a personal individual says no to God, no, 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 I don't want you in my life, and they slam the door on God, it may be your last time. It may be their last time. And God's done. He's persistent. But there's times when a person comes to the end. In Proverbs 30, verse 4 and 5, you know this verse. Proverbs 30 says, who has ascended into heaven or descended? Who has gathered the wind in his fist? And who has bound up the waters in a garment? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name and what is his son's name? If you know. Jesus said, the owner of the vineyard sent his son. Jesus is announcing that the owner of Israel has a son. God has a son. Isn't that amazing? And we talked about in our previous studies how all the religions of the world deny that Jesus is the Son of God. Which, what they're saying, or by doing that, is telling and saying that Jesus is in fact a liar and the word of God cannot be trusted. They say, let's kill him. That is an amazing thing. The word here in the Hebrew to kill, or Greek, to kill means to kill. I know this sounds silly, but the word means to kill by death through murder. Let's murder him. The word means premeditated. We heard you, Jesus. Listen, there's people like this today. We know, they'll tell you, we know what Jesus stands for. Son of God, died on the cross for our sins, rose again from the dead. We want him dead. We want to kill him again. Get him off the scene. Get him out of here. Can't mention his name. Erase him, whatever it is. Think of that. It's powerful stuff. It's an insane thought to consider that if you think about it. That you would, these guys are thinking, let's kill him. Because remember, at the end they said, let's get him. But they feared the people, so they didn't do it. They know he's speaking about them. They understand the connection that Jesus is connecting himself with the eternal God, his son, which in the Hebrew context would make him equal with God, would be God himself in flesh. And their conclusion is, this is how nuts they've gone. Let's kill him. Who are you again? God in skin. Wow. Well, you kind of crimp our style by showing up. We're going to kill you. Isn't that amazing? It's senseless, huh? But when you're insane, that's what you'll do. When you're insane, what you decide on makes sense only to you. It's a brilliant idea. And people are going, right? You're cuckoo. These guys are off. John 1. Beginning at verse 1. Follow me through on this. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. Verse 10 of John chapter 1. Jesus was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. Verse 11. He came to his own, that's these guys, and his own did not receive him. Incredible. Hebrews 1. Look at Hebrews 1. In the New Living Translation, it says, long ago, God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. But now in these final days, he has spoken to us through his Son. God promised everything to the Son as an inheritance. And through the Son, he created the universe. The Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God, and he sustains everything by the mighty power of his command. Wow. That's my Jesus. Who are you going to call upon when you're sick or when you're hurting or when life is dealing you a rough set of cards? Who are you going to cry out to? Oh, man. God is patient. Before we move on, I want to ask myself and us these two questions. Are you, am I as close and as personal with the Lord as is possible, within my power, within your power? Can you just stop and think about that for a second? Are you, am I, as close and as personal to Jesus Christ at this time as is possible within my own power? And in other words, am I seeking God as I ought to be seeking God? Don't jump up and just think about that for a moment. So why are you asking this question? Because it's a probing question. And you and I can fool each other. We can all say, yep. But then God knows on the inside exactly what the truth is about this. And I'm not saying this to make you and I sick to our stomachs right now. I'm saying this because it's a good moment for us to stop and think, have I ever been closer to God than I am right now? Yeah, I remember when I was 13, or whatever your answer is. If you and I can say, I remember when, that's not good. Now watch this. It's wrong for you and I to say, well, I used to be closer, but the reason why I'm not is because there's no because. For each and every one of us, I'm only speaking to the believer, for each and every one of us right now, you and I should be striving to be as close and as personal with Jesus as ever. Tomorrow should be our closest day with God ever. And then the day after that should be even closer still. Yeah, but what, aren't there dry periods? Oh yeah, there are dry periods. Listen, I've gone through dry years. I'm not joking. And what do? You know what you do? You do what Peter did. When Jesus said, are you guys going to leave me too? And Peter said, where else are we going to go? You alone have the words of eternal life. Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever felt like that for years? I remember going through a spell for years where the heavens were like brass and it was like dust. It was like licking a rock. You ever get any nourishment out of licking a rock? It's like, oh man. Well, God, I don't know where else to go, but hang on to you. And I'm glad now. I wasn't glad during the time, but I'm glad that time came through and I look back and it's like, awesome, God. God's existence and promises is not predicated upon my feelings. Isn't that a great thing? So listen, don't answer. Do you want to be closer to God? Yes. Then get closer to him. He wants you close to him. He's like this. Yes, yes, come on, come on, come on, come on. The only reason why you and I are not closer to Jesus is because you and I, quite frankly, we haven't wanted him enough. We're going to heaven. He might even be using us. He wants to use you more. He wants you to know him more. He wants you to draw near. And that is a very, very good thing. Number 4, verses 39 to 40, is the Lordship of God. Now remember, this is our third installment, our final message. So now we're at number 4. The Lordship of God is indivisible. Cannot be parsed up. Verses 39 to 40. So they took him and cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will they do to those vine dressers? Basically, Jesus is saying this. I have just made an utterance to you guys, a prophetic truth of prophetic significance. Jesus tells them what's inside their heart and what their actions are going to soon be, and that is, we are going to kill you. We're going to come after you. Thinking, listen, end of problem. Do you understand that what their plot was, God and God who's infinite knows all things, anticipated all that, and he's got an answer to their evil plot. Is anybody plotting against you? God knows the answer to the plot. Be very, very careful, church. Listen. Stand for righteousness in your situation. But be very careful and prayerful not to defend yourself. I know that goes against the grain of how you and I were raised. If you proceed prayerlessly, without confidence in the word, and you defend yourself, You know what God does? God lets you defend yourself. It's never a good thing. Let God defend you. He does a much better job. Did you all hear that? You need to take a deep breath and let that get into you, because here's the deal. God can do a much better job defending you, and the beautiful thing about it is you're going to learn so much out of it as God defends you. Granted, he's going to work some patience into us when he does it. Because you and I, we want a settlement now. We want to pull out a sword and whoosh, get some action going. Listen, God will defend you, protect you. He'll bring you through his way. And in his time, what does that mean? His time. One day is as 1,000 years with God. 1,000 years is as one day with God. Well, which one is it? His time. Right? When we get impatient, we jump ahead. And we think we can help God out. Okay, God, you take care of that part of the universe and I'll take care of mine. You can't divide him up. He's your Lord. And he will not be relegated or delegated into some little pigeonhole somewhere. He's your Lord. And number 5, we'll end with this. The fifth and final thing, verses 41 to 46. The Lordship of God is obvious. It's obvious. It's obvious in the parable. It's incredible. It's awesome. I would have loved to have been there to see this. They said to him, well, you know, he will destroy those wicked men miserably. Notice what they're saying. They didn't catch on. He's talking about themselves. And lease his vineyard to other vine dressers who will render to him the fruits of in their season. And Jesus said to them, have you never read? And he quotes the scripture. He quotes the passage from the Old Testament. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. That's an awesome story in and of itself that we don't have time to get into. Just simply this. When they were building the temple that Jesus was standing at, they had in fact lost the cornerstone, and it's part of Israel's history. And they found it later. It had been cast off and rolled down a ditch, thinking it was a mistaken stone. And Jesus quotes that to them, and they're like, this is no obscure little funny statement here. This was the Lord's doing, and it was marvelous in our eyes. God was in that, is what Jesus is saying. Therefore, I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a nation bearing the fruits of it. He's talking about the nation that he's talking about are all those who come to God by faith, which is the only way you can come to God is by faith. He's not talking about Canada or Peru. He's talking about the household of faith. And whoever falls on the stone will be broken. Will you underline that, please? You want to do this. Not only do you want to do this, you want to do this every day. Fall on this stone.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio. And it's a study called The Parable of the Householder and His Heir. It's actually a series within a series taken from Matthew chapter 21 and verses 33 through 46. The parable of the householder and his heir is part of Pastor Jack's collection of studies on the parables of Jesus, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, because it is Wednesday, we often like to remind you here on Real Radio to join us for Pastor Jack's midweek study that airs live on his channel at 7:30 p.m. West Coast time. That's every Wednesday night, as a matter of fact. Just go to hischannel.com, hischannel.com, super easy after that. Just a couple of points and clicks, and you'll be joining us for Pastor Jack's Wednesday night study. It's a great study every week. Again, that's live at 7:30 West Coast time on his channel, hischannel.com. We hope you'll join us. Our phone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.